Monday the 22nd of June, Rosh Chodesh, Lamed Sivan, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, Ben Yisrael, Lo Amin.
So, last day of Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Sorry. Last day of Chodesh Sivan, thank you. First day of Rosh Chodesh. Chodesh Sivan, of course, is a Chodesh of Matan Torah. So as we exit one month, we move to the next. I want to share with you the Maimah of the Shirei Das, Ben Yisrael Lamed. Very beautiful Maimah. The Yosef Levi Hood of Bloch describes the transformation that took place at Har Sinai and the permanent change in the relationship between ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Ben Yisrael Amim, and the distinction between ourselves and the rest of the world. So the famous Medrash, Yalkut Shimoni, in source number 2 over here, Ve'em HaShem Yisinai Bar Nigla V'nei Yisrael HaRosha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, so he gave all the nations of the world the opportunity to receive the Torah. He came to Esau, came to Ishmael, and offered them an option to buy into the Torah. And for each of the nations, he gave them one sample, one example of a mitzvah that's contained in the Torah. They asked for this book of Makasir Boy, and he says to them, so for Esau Barosh, he says to Makasir Boy, and he responds, it says, no, sir, it's not, you shouldn't kill. And Esau responds, what do you mean you shouldn't kill? That's our nature, we're professionals on that. That's what we do. That's our history, that's our heritage, that's our nature. He offers it to Bnei Ishmael, you shouldn't steal. Prophet Bnei Ammon says, no, sin like you shouldn't commit adultery. And they say, you mean adultery? Our whole ancestry is one of adultery. We're Bnei Ammon. We're the product of incest, an incestuous relationship. And therefore, they all refuse it one by one, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then comes to Klal Yisrael, and we receive it. So there's two questions. One question which he doesn't ask, which I'm sure not the only one has always had, and he asks almost the opposite question. The question that he doesn't ask is, it seems a little, if one can say it's a little unfair. To challenge them at their weakest point, their most vulnerable point. Start them off with something a little bit easier, perhaps it's the field that I'm in, start them off with something a little bit easier, and then graduate to the more difficult things. But to ask Esav not to kill, that's a difficult thing. That isn't the question that he asks, but what he says will answer it. He asks almost the opposite question, completely opposite question. Lemaisa, all of the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu highlighted over here in this negotiation with the Amos were mitzvahs which have mitzvahs when they know. They already commanded in these mitzvahs from their ancestor, from their Zayda Noach. They were commanded in Los Yerutzach and Los Signam, all these things. And Los Sinach, what was the issue over here? First of all, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu present this to them? This was something they should have been doing anyway. And secondly, why did they refuse? What was the great deal? What was the difficulty in refusing something that should have been part and parcel of their legal system anyway? That's first kasha. Second kasha, Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah, which is also in Baba Kama. Mark quotes a pasuk from Chabako. Omad ve'emoded eretz ro'a v'yatzer goyim. Kadosh Baruch Hu surveyed the land, measured the land. He got up and v'yatzer goyim. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? My ra, what did he see? He saw the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach that they had accepted, but they were not keeping. And since they were not keeping the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, Omad v'tir lahem, he released them from the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that the rest of the world was not observing Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, so he released them from the obligation of Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Exactly when this took place, actually from the Gemara itself, is not so clear. But if you look at the previous Medrash in the Alkut, it's clear that this took place for Shas Matan Torah. This took place for Shas Matan Torah. This posse is quoted in the previous Alkut. This took place for Shas Matan Torah. Pray the Gemara, the obvious kasha. What do you mean? Because they didn't do it, say they were released from the obligation, Iskur, they gained by virtue of their failure to keep the commandments. Mk matinuchot iniska. We find that the sinner has profited. Normally the principle is that you don't construct things that the sinners profit. There should be sanctions for the sinner, not rewards for the sinner. Says Gemara, don't worry. They don't get rewards. Yes, they keep the mitzvahs and they know they keep the Shev mitzvahs and they know. But after this release of their obligations, even if they keep it, there's no reward for them whatsoever. So I think, Gemara, is that the case? Didn't Rabbi Meir say, "Minayin shafinu obikul chovim v'osim b'toshu who can go and gaddle"? If you have an obikul chovim who occupies themselves in the Torah, which is the Tosas there says, means he learns the Shevah Mitzvahs from Nei Noach and keeps them properly, they get the schar like a kohen gaddle. How can you tell me they don't get schar? The Meir, the Rabbi says, they do get schar. Says the Gemara, they get schar bottom line. So he gets the chak, but not like one who's been commanded, but like one who's not been commanded. As Rabbi Chanina says, the famous concept, Godl ha-mutsuva v'esa, yosem ha-misha ened mutsuva v'esa, which in many respects is counterintuitive. We would have thought that volunteering, in this day and age, volunteering would seem to be something that's better. Then no one's asked you to do it and you're doing it. Says the Gemara, no, in fact, Godl ha-mutsuva v'esa, yosem ha-misha ened mutsuva v'esa. If you volunteer, and the fact is, if you volunteer, then there's no challenge to your ego at all. It's of your own volition. You've come forward. It's an expression of your inner will. If you actually have to subject yourself to somebody else's command, you then have to quash your own ego. That is more difficult to do. And therefore, the principle is that mutsuva v'esa gets more reward than any mutsuva v'esa. This is why, of course, it can be very dangerous to volunteer to do the washing up. And it's better to wait until you're commanded. Normally it doesn't take long for the command to come, but says the Gemara, that's why. So what schar do they get? They get the schar of one who is eino mitzvah v'oseh, but they will not receive the schar of one who is mitzvah v'oseh, even if they keep shavu mitzvahs and they know. So the obvious kashra is, and actually Rashi in Bamakama, in the same Gemara is brought, says, but the onshin they still get, the sanctions they still get, the punishments they still get. So the obvious kashra is, this seems inequitable. It seems unfair. On the one hand, we're told that if they keep the mitzvahs, they don't get the schar. On the other hand, it seems the sanctions remain. The punishments still remain. So where do we find such a situation? If they're commanded, they ought to get the punishments and the rewards in full. If they're not commanded, they ought to get neither. Neither the punishments nor the rewards. So there's an interesting cloud, which the Shiro Das introduces. It's a Hashkofa question. Interesting Hashkofa question. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this system of Schar of Onish in mitzvahs, whether it's Schar in this world, or Onish in this world, or the next world, how does that operate? There's two potential models, which he calls either the Refa model, the doctor model, or the command model, the Melech model. The doctor model means as follows. It could be, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, we know Histakel Baraisa Bar'alma. Kadosh Baruch Hu looked at creation, looked at the Torah. The Torah was the blueprint for creation. The Torah was the architect's plans for the world. In other words, the world was the translation in actuality of the plans of the Torah. The world was established, the world was set up such that it would operate according to the instructions and the directions of the Torah. Such that there's a natural cause and effect. Just as there is natural cause and effect in the physical world, there's a natural system of cause and effect in the spiritual world. A person performs a mitzvah that creates a certain positivity, there's a result, there's a reward that comes with that. A person transgresses chas v'shalom, there's a negativity, there's automatic damage. And it's a system of natural cause and effect. A bit like a doctor gives an instruction to a patient, if you eat these foods, if your cholesterol is too high, if you eat these foods, chas v'shalom, it will be damaging for you. The patient ignores the advice of the doctor, and there are negative consequences. Well, that's not a punishment on the part of the doctor. That's not a command on the part of the doctor. That is simply the doctor describing the situation as is. And then the patient acts one way or the other and takes the consequences that, if you like, are the almost inevitable result of the action one way or the other. That's one model. The other model is that it's a tzivoy. It's a tzivoy. In other words, it's not as though there is a natural consequence to a mitzvah of a cause and effect. But it's, if you like, arbitrary. It depends on the authority of the king. So the Almighty has commanded that if you do this avera, there's this punishment. If you do this mitzvah, there'll be this reward. But it's not intrinsic. It's not built into the system. It's external to the system that Hashem has created. Those are two models that there could be, and there's discussion around those two models. In fact, it is really both. It's both. Both aspects are true. On the one hand, there is within the very fabric of the world a system that has impact for reward or the reverse. On the other hand, over and above, there's also a tzivoy. Two interesting rites for this. So, Torah tells us, Kiseitin ha-milchoma alevecha, v'nasana sham lekecha bidecha, v'shavisa shivya. The passage of Eishes Yifastayah, a man goes out to war and has been selected for the army, goes out to war, and he confronts an Eishes Yifastayah. So, terrible situation. The Torah says that in this situation, his mind is completely disheveled. He's in a war situation, recognition of the psychological trauma of war, and he confronts this beautiful woman. So says the Torah lekach l'cho isha. You can take her for a wife. You can take her for a wife. Discussion in the Gemara in terms of how the situation works and when and how there is a relationship. But essentially, the Torah says you can take her home. You take her home, and she sits in your house for yerach yomim. And she sits there despondent and disheveled. And if after a month you still insist on marrying her, then you can marry her. We'll find a Rav, we'll be Masada Kedush, and you can marry her. But the brothers under the chuppah don't look that good. Because the sequence of the Torah, of the next parashas are, next parashas is Isha Snuah. Next parashas is Ben Sarama. It's not the normal brachas they're given under the chuppah. There should be Zofa. It doesn't quite work. It doesn't have the same flow. But so what's going on over here? If she is permitted to him, if he can then marry her, Al Pi Torah, so why should it be that the consequences of so doing are so deleterious, are so negative and so damaging? And one of Shech, if he can do it, then he can do it. Then let him do it with his brach of the Torah. If he can't do it, then stop him doing it. The Teretz is that it's true that the tzivoy has been removed. The normal tzivoy against marrying a non-Jewish woman has been removed. Because the Torah recognizes Yorda Torah, the Sovdatish Odom. Torah penetrates through to the psychology of humankind and recognizes that in these exceptional circumstances he can't restrain himself. The tzivoy has been removed, but it doesn't remove the natural spiritual consequences that will happen of this relationship. They still follow through in a natural sense of sequence. Therefore the Torah says, yes, you can marry her. The tzivoy has been removed. You haven't technically transgressed a tzivoy, but you should be aware of what will happen next. You can't change the nature of the world as the Kodesh Baruch Hu created it and the system that Hashem created. That's one way around, where you had a tzivoy which is removed, but the natural situation remains. On the other hand, in source number 6 over here, Gemara in Chagiga, Ma'aseh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broichi Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma, Shehalchu l'hakpo p'nei Yehoshua b'Pekin. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broichi and Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma were going to visit their Rebbe, Rabbi Yehoshua in Pekin. He says to them, the Rebbe says to them, Ma'ach Hiddish Hoyim Beis HaMiddash Hayom, what did you learn today in the Beis HaMiddash? So they say to him, we're your Talmidim, and we're Me'ach Ono Shosim, we want to drink from your waters, you tell us something. And he insists, he presses them, he says, no, E'ef Shalom Beis HaMiddash B'lo Chiddish, there must be something that you learned. And then they describe what they've learned, there's a Shir of Melodim and Azariah, and they're learning Parashas Hakel. Hakel is Ha'om Ha'anoshim V'Ha'anoshim V'Ha'anoshim. Says the Gemara, if the men come to learn, the women come to listen, why the little children brought. Says the Gemara, Litzein Star Lemevien. So it'll be a reward to those that brought them. Now, if you think about this for a minute, what are we talking about? We're talking about children below Bar and Bas Mitzvah. Because any adult, any child above Bar Mitzvah or above Bas Mitzvah was Mitzvah to come. They had to come. They were included in Anoshim. So, in fact, if you think about it, what options did the parents have other than to bring their children? What are you going to do? Leave them at home? I mean, they're not children. Babysitter. What was that?
The babysitter.
You had to come as well. You're going to leave them at home, and what was the option for them to come? I mean, in the Torah, it would seem that they had to come. You had to bring them along. Says the Shira Das, yes, here it was natural to bring them along. It was natural to bring them along. It was almost inevitable you were going to bring them along. It brings it's quite amusing. It brings it, and bringing along the children with all of their petlach and everything else was going to be more trouble than anything else. And providing for all their needs and keeping them quiet, you had to bring them along. But over here, the Torah gives a tzivoy over and above the natural situation. The Torah gives a tzivoy. The reaction of Yeshua for this is Margolis Toiv Ha'isim Yerachem Mekashtim Often Many. This is beautiful what that you've learned. You wanted to withhold it from me. In the first situation with Kisei, so we saw that the tzivoy is removed and the natural situation remains. Over here we see that the tzivoy is added to the natural situation to give schar for that which would otherwise happen naturally. So here we see that you have these two dimensions. You have the natural situation. You also have the tzivoy. And sometimes you can have one added to the other and one removed from the other. Now let's come back to the Medrash, source number 5. Medrash Shmos Rabbah. The Chonisi and Yeliros Chachma Beholilus Besichlus Kima Ha'odem Shiova Achrei HaMelech Ashis HaShak V'Aso. Shlomo HaMelech and Koheles, having surveyed all that there is to survey, says to him that I've seen the laws, I've seen wisdom, I've seen foolishness, I've seen all that there is, I've surveyed all that there is. In fact, and then the Torah goes on to say, the Medrash goes on to say, this pasuk was said in reference to Shlomo HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu. With Shlomo HaMelech how? Kishnot HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yisrael, we gave him a mitzvah saseh, mitzvah lo saseh. And the Melech was given specific mitzvahs. Parsha Shoftim, one of the mitzvahs of the melech is lo yarba lo susim. You're not allowed to have too many horses, too much excesses of silver and gold, and too many wives. Lo yarba lo noshim velo yosol levavim. Amad Shlomo, Shlomo got up and made a funny cheshbon. Over here the Torah gives a specific reason as to why there is a danger of having too many wives. What's the reason? Bishvil Shlomo Yosel Avavim. So Shlomo Melech, Ani Arbe V'libi Lo Yosor. I am immune. I am immune. The Torah has warned us what the danger is over here. I can have a large number of wives, and I will be immune from this particular danger. Now, Amar Rabbi Senu, V'Osa Shah, also Yud Shabi Yarbe. The little Yud from the word Lo Yarbe presented itself before Kodesh Baruch Hu, and said, Ribbon Ha'olamim, Master of the World, Lo Kach Amarta, did you not say, Ein Ois Betela Min HaTorah La'olam? There will never be a letter that is annulled from the Torah. Hari Shlomo, Oimed, Mevatel Osi. Shlomo is riding roughshod. He's ignoring me. V'shem Ha'yom Yevatel Achas L'moch Acharetz. Maybe today he will ignore another letter and another letter. Asher Yisbachel Kol HaTorah Kula until the Torah is annulled. Amalek Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem turns to the Yud, presents its case, and says, Shlomo ve'elav k'yotzebo yivetenim for kutzum imcha enim avata. You, Shlomo Melech, and 1,000 like him, ignore the letters of the Torah, will be eradicated, and not even the kutzah shall Yud be avata. That's the Medrash, beautiful Medrash. What does it mean? First of all, the question is, what was the cheshbon of Shlomo Melech? And secondly, the question is, why was it that the Yud protested? There are five letters in that word. Why was it the Yud got up to protest? No other letter got up to protest. So, it's interesting, if you think about these two ways of looking at the relationship between Schar and Mitzvahs, which he says are dual, the reality is there could be exceptions in one of those two formats and not in the other. If we take the format, that the way that it works is it's a natural system. So in the natural system, there may be some people who are exceptional to the rule. Let's go back to the medical situation. There are certain foods which perhaps if you've got high cholesterol you can't eat, but everybody else can eat. Or vice versa, certain perhaps dangers which you might be immune to because you're fit, and others are not. So if in the system of natural, it's potential to say, look, you know what, I sidestepped this one because I am outside of the normal parameters of this. But in the system of tzivoy, the system of command, you can't have a law that applies to 99 people out of 100. That's not a law. It's got to apply to everybody. Perhaps some of the parking rules here and there are a little make-along. But essentially speaking, you can't have a law that applies to 99 people out of 100. If it's tzivoy, it's got to be absolute, it's got to be uniform. Over here, it's very interesting that we find, over here, Shlomo HaMelech, if one can say so, he says, because the Torah over here gave the reason, why v'lo yosu l'vavu, he read this just at the level of teva, just at the level of natural. And he said, over here the Torah has given us a reason as to why it is that in fact you can't have too many wives, and I know within myself I am immune to this. I know within myself I can withstand that temptation, I can withstand that danger. And the reality is that he was right. He was right. At the level of teva, he was right. At the level of the natural ability, he was right. He understood that he could withstand that danger. But he was not right at the level of tzibur. He was not right at the level of tzibur. So which is the letter that comes to protest HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The letter that represents, that transforms this root, Reish Behe, into a tzibur. No Yarba no Noshim. It's that. He must not have extra wives. The letter of the Yod, which transforms this into the imperative, that takes the root and transforms it into the verb, the imperative, that is the letter that comes to protest before Kodesh Baruch Hu. The little Yod that comes to protest. It's a beautiful example how you take a Medrash and see the depth. This whole Medrash contains this whole concept. That you think you can be immune at a level of Teva. You can't be immune at a level of Teva. Here, the Tzivoy comes to protest, and the Tzivoy comes to stand its ground and say that the tzivoy can't be ignored. What's interesting over here is that he begins to introduce this concept. And what happened in the end? In the end, Shlomo Melech failed. He failed. At the end of his life, he failed. And the notion that he introduced into the kingdom began to introduce idol worship and other influences into the kingdom. What happened over here? So it seems that here begins to introduce a further concept. That if you ignore the tzivoy, that also changes you. You can't be immune to the impact of ignoring the tzivoy. If you ignore the tzivoy, that will also have an impact on you eventually. If you remember what Klal Yisrael, and ignore the tzivoy, that will also begin to erode the very essence of who you are. So you thought you could withstand, perhaps the level of tzivoy you could have withstood. But if you ignore the tzivoy, ultimately they'll also transform the person that you are. This also explains the idea that Avos HaKadoshim kept the Torah. The Avos HaKadoshim kept the Torah. They weren't, but they kept the Torah midin en mitzvoyzer. They were not mitzvoyzer, en mitzvoyzer. So first of all, we understand now, how is it that they understood what to keep? We understand that. Because basically it was their deep understanding of the natural world, the world that Kol Shabbat created, the world of Briyas Olam, and simply by studying the natural world, they realized that which was good for their neshama, and that which was negative for their neshama. That which would help them in their avodas Hashem, and that which would possibly divert them from their avodas Hashem. They understood it naturally. But it also explains why there were certain exceptions. Because since they were at the level of Ein Mitzvah V'Oseh, we said, at the level of Teva alone, there can be exceptions. Level of Teva alone, there can be exceptions. So, for example, Yaakov Avinu married two wives. Because he understood, although the Ramban says that was out of Eretz Yisrael, come back to that. But he married two wives. Because he understood that here was an exception to the rule.
Two sisters.
Here was an exception to the rule. Because he understood that because they were in the framework, in the sphere of Ein Mitzvah V'Oseh, there, the overall productivity of marrying two sisters outweighed the negative side of your life. Because he was in the world of Ein Mitzvah V'Oseh. In the world of Ein Mitzvah V'Oseh, there can be exceptions. Let us come back to our original questions. There were two original questions we asked. First of all, why is it when a Kol Shabbat gave the Torah, he came to the nations of the world and he offered them these particular mitzvahs, and these were mitzvahs they were already commanded for. So it seems that Bashas Matan Torah, if we can use a modern day terminology, this was an opportunity for a renewal of contract. This was an opportunity for a renewal of contract, which it absolutely was. It was a change for the whole world, change of the nature of a relationship between a Kol Shabbat and the rest of the world. So here it was a renewal of contract. So what we was asking to do, until this point of time, there were already mitzvah in the Sheva Mitzvahs Neinach. But over here, this was a moment to transform it from, they had a choice. They could either become eternally mitzvah, become part of Klal Yisrael, and become eternally commanded, not only in these Sheva Mitzvahs, but all of the mitzvahs. And if they were to refuse that, then in fact, then they would be relegated down to Ein Mitzvah Mitzvah. Omad Vayater Goy. So this was their choice. It was a choice about mitzvahs they already were supposed to be doing. The choice was, how would they relate to these mitzvahs in the future? Kol Shabbat says to them, if you want, this is a renewal of contract, we can give you an upgrade, you will have an eternal tzivoy, an eternal connection between myself and you at a level of tzivoy, not just a level of tzivah. But ever, if you refuse that connection, then you fall back on teva alone. You fall back on Teva alone, and that will be your relationship with Misa Kodesh Baruch Hu, no more than Teva alone. And they refused. They didn't want to be Mitzvah. They were only too happy not to be Mitzvah. They fell back on Teva alone. And therefore, this explains both questions. The question that he asked, what was Kodesh Baruch Hu asking of them? This is what he was asking of them, to transform it to a permanent and eternal connection of Mitzvah, not just Teva. If they refused that, they'd be relegated to a level of Teva alone. On the other hand, it asks the question that I am sure others thought of as well. On the contrary, this was the easiest mitzvah to ask of him. What was being asked of them, really? This is what they should be doing anyway. I'm asking you, mitzvah, should be doing anyway. It wasn't unfair. Listen, let's start off what you should be doing. Let's discuss this. All I'd like you to do is to accept this. Let's start off with this. If you can accept this, then we can bring in the rest of it as well. If you can't accept this, then there's no point starting at all. That's Peshat. Amar Vayater Goyim. When a Kolosh Baruch Hu saw that even this they couldn't accept, Hashem says, fine. Hashem says, fine. We'll come back to exactly what that means, why there was a relegation. But it also explains now the situation that Ben Yisrael are in. Because one of the other questions we asked was, it's not a fair situation. If they are commanded, then they should get reward like commanded. And if they're not commanded, then they shouldn't get the sanctions. The teretz is, yeah, It's true they're not commanded, but the sanctions are the natural consequence of the world Hashem has created. The sanctions are the natural consequence. If they do things that are damaging to the world spiritually, there will be consequences spiritually and physically as well. That's the way Hashem has created the world. So yes, you have, by not accepting the tzivoy, you have lost the opportunity of the schar, but you can't escape from the world in which you live. You can't get out of that situation which you find yourselves in. Therefore, it's completely fair. You remain at the level of Ein Mitzvah Esa. It's interesting that he also suggests that even the famous machlokes which occurs in so many places of Hetro Tuchuya. Hetro Tuchuya. So one of the best examples in the Gemara Pesachim. So normally, of course, Korban Pesach has got to be brought but Tahara. It's got to be brought but Tahara, it's got to be brought in purity. If the rove of the Tzibur is Tommy, then Korban Pesach can be brought. The Gemara over here, we haven't got time to go into it now in detail, talks about Pesach Sheni. Talks about Pesach Sheni. In which situations do you have Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni is a compensation for when there was a proper Pesach Rishon. Those who, if there was a proper Pesach Rishon, you have a Pesach Sheni. If for some reason there wasn't a proper Pesach Rishon, then Pesach Sheni is not the Bimko Pesach Rishon. So here the Gemara brings a discussion if you've got Rubon Tamei Mason, Umiyotan Zabim. Now, if you've got a situation where you have Rove or Tommy, Rove of the Tzibur or Tommy, normally Pesach Sheni operates when you have individuals who are Tameah, and there was a proper Pesach for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Individuals who missed out on the proper Pesach then have a chance of a Tashlumi. What happens if you've got Rove of the Tzibur or Tommy? Rove of the Tzibur or Tommy. Is this, and so the halacha is, if Rove or Tommy, you still bring Korban Pesach. But is this, if you like, a proper Pesach or improper? Gemara says, in other words, Nafkamina, do you have a Pesach Sheni or not for those who missed out on this one? What is the machlokes? Rav Adam Rava says Yesh Tashlum in the Pesach Abba Tuma, Rav Hona says Ein Tashlum in the Pesach Abba Tuma. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokes between them? Whether there is a Pesach Sheni or not? The machlokes is whether Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur or Tuma Duchuya B'Tzibur, which means, best translation I think is when here you have a situation which is exceptional. Normally you've got to bring Pesach B'Tzahar. Here you've got the Rove Tzibur with Tommy. And the Torah says bring Pesach nonetheless. Is that an exemption or is it a dispensation? In other words, is Peshach, you know what, if the Rov Tzibur or Tomei, then it's absolutely fine. You can bring it to Lachachila, there's no problem with it at all. It's an exemption from the rule, a complete exemption from the rule. Or is it a kind of dispensation? It's not ideal, it's not the best, but there's a dispensation for it, you can go ahead with it. You can go ahead with it. And that's the difference. If you learn it as a Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, then basically there would be a Pesach Sheni, because this was a proper Pesach. And this was an exemption. This was a complete exception, outside of the rules of Tumah. On the other hand, you've learned it to be Duchuya. He suggests that it could be the same machlokes over here, that the hashgafa component of this machlokes is this about, are we discussing the Teva or are we discussing the Tzivoy? The Teva or the Tzivoy? In other words, that Tuma Duchuya B'Tzibur means, yes, there is a Tzivoy to bring Korban Pesach, but it's a Tzivoy despite the fact that the nature hasn't changed. Nature hasn't changed. There is a Tzivoy, and it's despite the fact that the nature hasn't changed. Really, this isn't the ideal way of bringing it, and at some supernatural, natural level, the implications of that are still real, but Nerunanesetero says, despite that, you go ahead and bring it. Or do you know if it's Hutra? Hutra means that no, nature changes as well. When our halacha says you now bring Korban Pesach, it changes at all levels. It's absolutely fine at all levels, both at the level of Tzivoy and also at the level of nature as well. So just to finish off, if we analyze this very simply, what did it mean? What did it mean when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered it to the rest of the nations in the world and they refused? What were they really refusing? They weren't simply refusing the obligations. Ultimately, they were refusing the relationship. That's what it means. They're refusing the relationship. To remain at the level of Eina Mitzvah V'Oseh means that I want to do it my way. I want to do it my way. I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. They're refusing the relationship. That's what it means. Therefore, when Klal Yisrael said Na'aseh V'Nishma, and the Klal Yisrael were prepared to subject themselves to come onto the Ol of Tzivoy, that's what we were accepting. We were accepting the relationship. Therefore, as we move from months of Sivan to months of Tammuz, and it's interesting that his concluding comments, really demonstrates that once we accept the Torah, even at the level of Teva, things change for Klal Yisrael. Even at the natural level, it was an accentuated relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even at that level as well. So Mitzvah Shem, we should be Zocher in the month of Tammuz and Av to focus on the concepts of Hashem Baruch Havanu, such as Mitzvah Shem, those ideas will be realized in the ultimate Tzvinyan Beis HaMikdash.